When Serge Bromberg was last here on the show, it was right before the color version of George Melies' masterpiece, A Trip to the Moon, was shown in New York for the first time in 100 years, before it was included in Martin Scorsese's Oscar-winning Hugo. You'll have another chance to see not only A Trip to the Moon, but many other rare silent gems from around the world tonight when the world-famous Preservationist brings them to BAM Cinematheque at 7 o'clock and accompanies them on the piano. I'm very pleased to have this opportunity to speak with Serge Bromberg again. Welcome back to our show.
It's a pleasure.
And I want to congratulate you for receiving an inaugural Outstanding Achievement Award for Archive Preservation and Restoration this past January. Are you surprised by all of the attention silent movies have been getting since you founded Lobster Films?
Well, you know, since I founded Lobster Films, since Marty made Hugo, then The Artist, which is a modern silent film, I always thought that sound film wouldn't last.
Well, they predicted it in 1929.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, it's done pretty well.
You know, the thing is, silent films give so much, but in a different way. They deliver so much pleasure that I found it amazing that in the last month, thanks to those few films, people are going back to silent films, not thinking, oh, I'm going to see old films or films for scholars or universities or cinematheques. These are films for pleasure and life.
But for a long time, it was assumed that younger people would not want to see a film that wasn't in color and it didn't have sound.
That's
and didn't have a lot
correct.
Of fast cuts.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And you know, in a way, when we restored the Trip to the Moon in color, which is the most expensive, longest restoration ever, we chose for the final result, of course, to have the original colors, but also to have Air music by the band Air, which is modern music for the new audience. And the new audiences went to see the film, and now it seems that Méliès really is on the top of the scale because people watch this film as a mega video music with amazing images, not realizing that those images were shot 110 years ago.
Now, when you say you restored the color, it was not shot in color film.
Well,
it was hand-painted?
Yeah, The Trip to the Moon was hand-painted. It wasn't shot in color. Because
how many
colors...
all the prints or just...
No. Color print... films were colored when there was an order. And it was... actually, this one was never offered for hand coloring. So obviously there was at some point a major wealthy billionaire who bought a print that was hand colored by Méliès. So this is a unique, probably the only print ever that was hand colored.
Are more films being saved from this era?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of hand-colored films saved from the era. And that's actually the point of my show today. You know, I thought, besides The Trip to the Moon, which is, of course, the icon ultimate film that everyone remembers because of that image of the moon with the rocket in the eye, I wanted to do that show called The Trip to the Moon and Other Trips Through Time, Color, and Space, just to show that there are so many films with so much interest of the same era that are still to be found and restored.
If they think they've seen the whole Trip to the Moon because they've seen Hugo, well, that's just an excerpt, right?
Yeah, well, Trip to the Moon is 14 minutes, and it's a completely different experience than what we have in Hugo, which is a very short clip only.
How many reels of silence did you have when you started out?
I don't know, probably about 25,000. But, you know...
And what about now?
Oh, how many did I have in
yeah.
the... Oh, I had none.
Oh, yeah. Well, and how did you start collecting them? Were just happy to give them to you?
Yeah, well, you know, I started looking for them. Actually, there's still a lot of films to be found here and there, but no one is actually looking for them. And when we find them, no one is preserving and showing them, besides a few institutions, of course, that are doing a great job. So that's part of my life, not only finding the films, but finding the audience.
And then it doesn't hurt that things happen like this. The New York Times A.O. Scott called your restoration of A Trip to the Moon surely a cinematic highlight of the year, maybe the century. It won the National Film Critics Award for Best Film Restoration of the Year. So,
and it opened the Cannes Film Festival last year, which shows you how big it was. I was amazed because I was just doing this because I thought it was important, but never had any clue that this would had such a success.
And then Martin Scorsese probably was inspired by that to include it in
well,
Hugo.
I've been in contact with Marty for a few years, and he knew about this restoration and obviously included it in Hugo after knowing that this film was available.
Well, in Hugo, Méliès sets all of his reels on fire. Did he really do that?
That's exactly what he did. In 1923, he was thrown out of his house, and the archives did not exist at that time, and he had no place to put the film, so he dug a hole in his garden and burnt up 520 camera negatives. His entire production went up in smoke in less than 2 hours.
What a tragedy. So how many of his other films have survived?
Out of the 500 films, about 200 do survive, which is not a lot. And, of course, only the most famous ones survive because they are those that have been the most distributed. So we had more, statistically, more chances to find. But there's still so much to be found, and it's such a disaster. How could a creator who has spent 16 years of his life destroy all this with one match?
Hey, you have been responsible for finding 17 previously unknown Méliès films.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be showing one of his films that predates A Trip to the Moon tonight?
Yes, I'll be showing an 1897 film called After the Ball, which is his only erotic film. Well, eroticism in 1897 is not exactly what you would expect today. And you can bring your kids. Nothing will go wrong.
Although there were photographs, still photographs from the time that you couldn't show to your
absolutely,
kids.
Absolutely. But nudity, Méliès style, is not exactly nudity.
And what was is the film fun or is
it's fun. It's everything I'm showing today.
He's almost like pre-surrealist, isn't he?
It's pre-surrealist. But, you know, sometimes reality is bigger than surrealism itself. The first film that will open my show today was shot in 1906. It's A Trip Through Market Street in San Francisco. And that film was shot only because the producer had extra stock, raw stock. So he went in on a streetcar and has that shot where he goes down Market Street in San Francisco. Then he sends the film to the lab, and the next evening, the earthquake destroys the entire city.
So it was hard for people to know what he had filmed. But this is a record of San Francisco.
This is a record of San Francisco a few days before, which is absolutely, I mean, you see all those people and you say, well, these people will be gone in a few hours and so will the city be. That's that, and just because they had extra stock.
Now, you also are showing a new restoration of a very funny Buster Keaton short.
The Love Nest. That's his last short, and he had already planned to do a feature film. But Love Nest had something special that it was never preserved well. And we were lucky enough to find a few, an incomplete print in Holland, another one in Czechoslovakia, and one in France in our own collection. And gathering those three prints, we could reconstruct the entire film. It's absolutely hilarious.
And I would assume that humor in silent films plays universally. Sometimes it doesn't when people are making jokes. Jokes don't always translate well.
Yeah, that's correct. You have to be visual. And it seems that we're reaching some kind of universality by showing silent films. There's no dialogue issues. It talks to the kid in ourselves, and the kid in ourselves is the same all over the world.
There are also 3D movies from this time?
No, there were 3D movies from this time, but we will not show them tonight because we're running short of glasses. No, there were experiences of 3D, and there is even one made by Méliès, surprisingly enough, without even knowing it. But that's another.
But they'd already figured out that if you did two different cameras, and
absolutely.
In
those days, you could watch still photographies through stereo viewers, but the problem was to have those two images on the screen and. That was a difficulty.
Now, did you begin as a film buff or as somebody who liked to play piano behind
films? I love film. I love silent films. And the only reason I play the piano is because it doesn't make you a billionaire. And it's hard for me to find enough money to pay the pianist and the piano. So I play myself and host the film, explain the stories behind the film, which makes them completely different. You know, time has passed so much that the films need a little explanation or a little story.
Now, a listener wants to know, what's the most unusual place where some violence turned up?
Well, the most common place where films turn up is under the roofs of churches.
Serge Bromberg is a film preservationist. He'll be in person at BAM tonight at 7 with A Trip to the Moon and Other Travels, presenting a selection of rare films from around the world. You can get ticket information on our show page at WNYC.org.